Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's now been 6 months since an EF3 tornado tore through parts of St. Louis and impacted thousands of residents who saw destruction wrought on their neighborhoods, schools, businesses, churches, parks, their very homes. So today, we're talking about where people stand in their post-storm recovery journey. We're touching base with the Nolan family. We first heard from Gloria Nolan on St. Louis on the Air the Tuesday after the tornado in May. She's taken us with her and her family through their post-tornado recovery ever since. And she joins us again in studio. Gloria, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us today is Dylan Nolan, Gloria's 13-year-old daughter. Dylan, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
And thank you both for joining us. So first, how are you two doing? How are you feeling now that we're 6 months after the tornado, Gloria?
I can't even believe it's been 6 months. It went by so fast, but it's also going by very slowly.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way, Dylan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. 6 months. If someone told me it was 6 months, I wouldn't believe them unless I look back.
Mm-hmm. What is making it feel both fast and slow?
Well, for the slow part, I think it's just like not much progress has happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think it doesn't feel like much progress has happened at all because people keep asking me, like, how are you? How are things? And I feel like I keep repeating the same answer over and over again because we haven't had very much progress. Mm-hmm. But also, it's fast because it just, you know, like it seems like it's almost Christmas. And, you know, and once Christmas hits, then it's, you know, we're into a new year.
Right. There have been some things that have been taken care of. And the last time we spoke, Gloria, your home was in the process of being repaired since the tornado ripped off a relatively new roof from your home and planted it on your front lawn. So when it comes to the home and repairs, where are things now, starting with the roof?
So the roof is fully back. We have a new roof. Uh-huh. It's on there. The house is dry, and so that really did solve a lot of issues because every time we would have another rainstorm, we were on pins and needles because the house was just taking on more damage, more and more water, more mold. All of the things were just changing rapidly because of the additional rain pouring in. But now that the roof is on there, that really did kind of seal the deal. And I don't think I ever realized how important a roof actually is. It's your covering.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's really a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And Dylan, you saw the house right after that roof came off. How does it feel now to drive by the house and to see at least that part taken care of?
It's relieving. It's nice that it's not on the street blocking it anymore. Mm-hmm. But it still makes me kind of upset.
Yeah.
It took so long for the roof to be repaired. I kind of think it was ridiculous. But now that it's back, I feel a little bit more secure.
Yeah. In the process of repairing your home, Gloria, I understand that you ran into something that often happens when homeowners are doing some work with an older building. That's asbestos, right?
Oh, yes, the asbestos debacle.
Yeah, so how, if it was a debacle, how did it impact the timeline of getting your home back together such that you can actually get back into it again?
It halted the project, actually, because the team that came in to do the demo phase, they were just, okay, first let me back up. We did have a test to see if there was any asbestos present. Mm-hmm. And that came back all clear.
Oh.
And so then the team went in, and then they started pulling everything down, basically stripping everything down to the studs. And there was something that they suspected to be asbestos wrapped around the ductwork. And so then we had to pause, have an environmental team come in. And when they came in, they were like, yes, this is indeed asbestos. We have to take it out. And we own a duplex. And so by mistake, they only cleared the ducts on one side of the building.
Okay.
So that created a further holdup of, okay, when can you come back and do the other side of the building?
Mm-hmm.
And that took way too long.
Did you have a sense that it took longer because of the amount of work that needed to be done in the area?
They were booked. They were booked and busy.
Mm-hmm.
Our house was built in 1925. A lot of the houses, the old brick houses, those were the materials that were used. So I was told that asbestos, if it's in your home, it's probably in your home. If you're listening now, it's probably in your house if you have an older house. But as long as you don't disrupt it, it's fine. But once you pull it down, rip it down, then those particles get in the air. That's when you have the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really happened to us. But if they had known and were able to just secure it, we would have been fine.
Yeah. Dylan, I know that you don't have to figure out any of the answers when it comes to home repair, you know, how we're going to repair things, take care of them in a certain time. And when I saw you and your mom at a recent listening session, there was a little bit of disagreement about when you thought things would be finished. But even apart from that, you and your younger brother, I should state, you've been living this reality as well, right? So if you look back on like 6 months and back to when you were still finishing up your last school year, how do you remember feeling as you and your parents and your dog, like trying to find a place to stay?
I was very upset. I was devastated that our house was gone, but we have a lot of friends. And as soon as the house was destroyed, one of our friends just volunteered like a house, a tiny little house to us. And we got to stay there for 2 weeks. So it was not as hard as you might think it would.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
What did you take with you from your house in order to help you make the transition to wherever you were going to be going next?
I grabbed my dog. I was really worried about her because she was in the house during the tornado. So she was obviously, well, I thought she would have been more startled, but she was still crazy. So yes, I grabbed my dog. I went upstairs and I grabbed my little favorite stuffed animal. His name's Gus. Because I was like, if I'm going to make it out of this house, I'm grabbing my dog, I'm grabbing Gus, and I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. And Gus is a duck.
Gus is a duck.
Why is this stuffed toy so important to you?
I've had him for 9 years, so he's always kind of been there during all the highs and lows, so I really needed him in this very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional support duck.
Emotional support duck. Very, very strong emotional bond to this stuffed duck, to this beat up.
He is well
duck.
Loved.
He used to be, legend said he was yellow. He's not yellow anymore.
So, Gloria, you and your husband, speaking of this duck that Dylan grabbed, you and your husband also had to take stock of everything in the house in order to work with home insurance and hopefully to recoup some of what you had lost there. What was the itemizing process like? And can you walk us through that? And, how specific did you have to get?
That process gave me so much anxiety, like to even just think about it. And right now, we're in this space of, like, every day I think we realize something else that we had,
mm-hmm.
that we're gonna either have to buy again or I don't know. Like, I was asking Dylan the other day, do you have any safety pins?
Mm.
And we were like, oh, they were in the sewing kit.
Yeah.
Where was the sewing kit? Okay, it was in the drawer. Okay, so we don't have it. The insurance company wants to know what was in the junk drawer in the kitchen. Was that valuable to you? Do you want to have it replaced? And I think we had upwards of maybe 45 to 50% of our items in our home lost. And so we had to go room by room. There was a company that came in and did some packing for us. So they were able to put some things in storage for us. But other rooms like Dylan's room, our bedroom, the basement, things got totally destroyed and we weren't able to get those things itemized. So we had to do it from memory. Mm-hmm. And I will say to anyone, take pictures of your stuff. Take your camera out. Take snapshots. Take video. Inventory your stuff. And if it's important stuff, if it's expensive stuff, you might want to work with your insurance company to make sure that those are itemized in a different way so that they can really give you back the value of it, because they have limits that they will recover mm-hmm. on your jewelry, on, you know, if you have a fur coat. I didn't have a fur coat or anything like that. But if you have really important stuff or collections that are valuable, they have limits. And if you want to recoup your items, you have to have that nailed down. So, but we had to work in spreadsheets. We had to say how old the items were and how much they cost or how much we thought they cost. So we were looking up stuff like how much was the air fryer? How much was the spatula? You know, mm-hmm. that kind of a thing. So it was very tedious.
Yeah. Are there any things that recently you've realized you don't have anymore, Dylan, that you could have used or, you know, might not be replaceable?
Not necessarily. So when the tornado hit, my room was impacted the most. So when people came and packed up all the stuff, they went to my room mainly. Because my whole, like, the tornado hit the back of the house first and went forward, and my room is in the back of the house. So a lot of my things were saved.
And how about for your son, Evan?
His room didn't get touched.
It was
fine.
His room was the best room. So his room and then the dining room below it, dry.
Oh, favoritism. Insanity.
The second.
I was
right out of my mouth.
Dylan had a lot of arts and crafts supplies and things like that. They were the people that helped us. They were able to get a lot of her clothes and things out, mm-hmm. but all furniture, her keyboard, things like that, all of those things were, they were destroyed.
Another thing that was lost has to do with family tradition, Gloria, because along with your careers and raising your two kids, you and your husband, Kevin, you also serve as Coco Santa and Mrs. Santa. So we're here like near the end of the year, holiday season. It's a very busy time. Did the tornado set any of that back?
So for Coco Santa and his items, we tried to grab his suits. So we did get his suits, but some of the items were left back, like his hats and gloves, some of his accessories. But we were able to salvage the most of it. And he's up and going, ready mm-hmm. for this season. So he's already at the Galleria Mall on Sundays. So he started officially yesterday. He went to Mission St. Louis, I think on Saturday. So he's already up and going. Coco Santa, he lost his sleigh. He had a sleigh on top of his Jeep last year. So that was destroyed in the basement, but he found a new one and it's already decorated and up and going.
Okay.
We did lose outside of Coco Santa and Mrs. Claus, we just wore costumes in general, and the costume closet was destroyed. So the turkey costumes, all of that.
My heart.
Family costumes, we'll have to start over.
Okay.
Every person that we've talked to, Gloria, who has been impacted by the May 16th tornado, they're very quick to talk about concerns for themselves. But right next to that, they talk about concerns they have for their neighbors and their homes. So what's been happening around cleanup and recovery in your neighborhood since we talked back in July?
So I'm here talking about how things are going really slowly for us, and we can get down to the, you know, letter. And we have our little spreadsheets, and we're working it out. We're working back with the insurance company. We're working back with our contractors and folks. And a lot of our neighbors, they're in a different situation. The next block over from us, we have friends that live there, and they are telling us what they see. And so, for example, on San Francisco, there's a row of like five houses where there were renters there, and the owners of those houses decided not to do anything with those properties. So those houses are just falling into further disrepair. You know, the debris and everything is picked up off of the streets, but the houses, they're destroyed, and they probably won't be repaired, because if they had insurance, what a lot of people did was, as landlords, took the payout and walked away. I know that the city was trying to do people a solid by not forcing them to give a portion of their insurance proceeds to the city or hold that back for repairs or demolition and things like that. But I think that idea really backfired, because now we're just going to have a lot of vacant houses with nothing being done to them. And those folks have figured out somewhere else to live, and probably won't return.
Dylan, you have gone back, you know, with your parents to look at the house and the progress on all of those repairs. From your perspective, you know, being 13 now, 14 very soon, but being 13, having spent a number of years now in that neighborhood, is there anything that you've noticed about what it's like right now, what's different? If there's anything new?
At first, when the tornado hit, I feel like our whole neighborhood community came together to lift each other up by like volunteering to help clean out houses, sweeping the streets. Like everyone was out in the streets just picking up rubble and wood that was everywhere. And it was nice to see everyone interact with each other, even if it had to take a tornado to do so. That's all I really noticed.
Yeah. Is there anything maybe that was part of the neighborhood that maybe you like looked at all the time, you know, turning a corner, coming down the street, that maybe is not there anymore or has moved?
We lost a lot of trees in the park near our house. So I'd usually walk around there with my mom and my dog, and we just like, she'd sniff the trees and bark at the trees for some reason. And now when we drive past, it's just flat land with stumps everywhere. There's no trees.
Mm-hmm. That is something that we've heard from other people that we've talked about, that we've talked with, about what their experience has been. How does it feel to see that?
It's sad. It's kind of depressing because it was always there, like since we've moved into that house, and now it's just gone, and it's not going to be the same. Even if they start planting trees again, it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. Gloria, when you and Kevin are talking, and whether you are talking directly to Dylan and Evan, or they, you know, happen to be around, what are you most aware of when it comes to the way that you frame discussion around what recovery is?
I try to consider them and make sure that they feel safe, make sure that they're feeling secure. And so we definitely try to look at things and share it with them on the high notes. We don't try to be deceptive to them at all. We don't want to frighten them or overburden them with adult issues. And so we're working out things in the background, but we are being pretty open and honest with them, mm-hmm. as much as we can be with what's going on and how we're moving forward.
Dylan, do you feel like you're growing up a little faster than maybe you thought you would because of what has happened?
A little bit. Once we've moved to this new house, we have gotten a few more responsibilities. And it's, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. And at school, what kind of, you know, support are you getting? Are there certain questions that people, you know, your peers are asking you?
No, they're not asking me any questions. When they first heard about it, they offered me support, and a lot of them just talked to me, but they haven't asked, how's your house? Mm-hmm. Are you, like, you know, they're not trying to bother me too much with it.
Yeah.
Because they know I got it.
Yeah. Would you like people to ask you about it?
Not really.
Okay.
Because if people started asking, then everyone would start asking, and then it'd be repetitive. Because there's not a lot of progress getting done.
Mm-hmm. What has this school year been like for you?
It's been relatively the same. The only difference is we're a little closer to the school. That's really it.
And you've moved to a completely different side of town, right?
We are.
Yeah.
We are. I think Dylan she's kind of being a little modest. She's having a rock star year this year. She actually is.
What?
Yes. She's like student council
president,
madam president. She won a scholarship this year for college already. So it's a $10,000 scholarship for her school in her futures. She got an honorable mention in an art contest. That was really, like, she's shining. She got all A's on her report card. The girl is knocking it out.
Yeah, okay, so I guess that
in the face of adversity.
This must be pushing me a little harder without me noticing, but I don't know.
I'm proud of you,
kiddo. It's the year before high school. I have to lock in. Mm-hmm.
She is. She's doing great.
Yeah. We have Stephanie on the line who'd like to share something with us. Stephanie, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Go ahead.
I wanted to share, first of all, Dylan, you just sound so uplifting and positive, and Mom, I'm sorry I didn't get your name earlier, but you're doing everything right. And the reason that I share this with you is that I lost my home to a fire in the city. And my daughter did the exact same thing that Dylan did. She ran in and grabbed her favorite stuffed animal that she's had her entire life. And I know what you guys are going through with this loss, and my heart is with you. And I'm really happy, Mom, how you're sharing important things with the kids, but that you're not overwhelming them with the nitty gritty of what it takes to get through a disaster like this. And if at any point St. Louis on the Air wants to share a way to assist you or assist others that you know, I would really appreciate knowing that. And I just have a big heart for you, and I hope everything for the best.
Stephanie, thank you.
Thank you so
Gloria,
much.
How does it feel to hear that from a stranger?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your encouragement. And then I just started thinking about, you know, the devastation of a fire. And I am so glad I can hear it in your voice, that you and your family are in a better place and that you've overcome it. And so it just gives me encouragement to keep going, to keep going. And my name is Gloria, by the way. Kudos to you and your family for making it through and for uplifting others. I appreciate it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's good to hear that some other people have the same priorities as mine. I thought it was just crazy. I was like, I have to save Gus over anything. I have to save Gus. So that's nice to hear.
So yesterday was the 6 month mark. You know, as you look ahead, let's not say 6 months from now, let's say 3 months from now, what are a couple of the questions or issues that you would like people to be thinking about in that time period, Gloria?
I would really like to know more about what the city is working on to get people back in. Like I said, that row of five houses, what's going to happen to those houses? How long will it take for those places to be repaired and for people to come back into our community? We already, you know, it was already a small amount of people living in the city, and now that these houses are offline, like, what are we doing? I saw some of the applications to get resources from the city, and I just kept thinking to myself, who qualifies for this funding? Who? Mm. Because the financial thresholds are really low, and so when I think of those landlords that took the insurance money, like, they wouldn't qualify for those funds, and then the tenant wouldn't qualify for those funds because it's not their house. How are we really making this work? Who's benefiting from the funds that are being rolled out, and when will we see concrete examples of the city coming back, mm-hmm. and really recovering from this?
Dylan, I'm going to give you the last word. What do you think people should be mindful of when it comes to what people your age are thinking about or going through right now?
Parents, if you have kids and you're like doing a disaster, during a disaster, when we see you guys stressed out, we kind of get stressed out too. Mm. It's kind of upsetting because I sometimes come down and I'm like, hi mom, hi dad, how you doing? And they're just like looking at all these papers and trying to design all the interior of the new house, and it's just papers everywhere, and I feel really bad. So
I think that's a great piece of advice for us to remember. Take care of ourselves as we take care of our children, and vice versa. Dylan and Gloria Nolan are daughter and mother, and two of five Nolan family members whose O'Fallon neighborhood home was severely damaged by the EF3 tornado that ravaged parts of St. Louis 6 months ago.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet and by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.